RadioInfluence.com.
Let me tell you why.
You have 210 story office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of.
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion. A lot of smoke come out of the top.
110 stories high. They are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust.
To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust.
This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out.
You take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want.
Media is the...
You take the red pill.
Nervous system of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy can't function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You have to let it all go.
Take the red pill. 911truth.org.
Doubt.
WhatReallyHappened.com.
You just believe.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
I bet this thing's on.
Testing 1, 2. We're broadcasting from the basement of the science building. We're at 1 megawatt.
Yo, do this.
A little louder, that little shot. What's going on, internet? Live from out on the ledge studios, it is Dangerous Conversation for December 15th of 2015. I'm sure the numerologists all have a heart on with a couple of 15s in the date.
Right now, they're all going, well, if Venus's injunction would, you know,
I get it all. I know it's all connected, but sometimes I just get a little bored with.
Hang on a second.
I have a technicality.
That meant I left the ceiling fan.
Here we are broadcasting live from out on the ledge studios, Dangerous Conversation, middle of December. And I want to say, see, if I say Merry Christmas, then I don't offend Christians. But if I say Happy Holidays, then I'm part of the war on Christmas. And all this menial bullshit wrapped around the idea that saying Happy Holidays covers it all. Jewish? Happy Holidays covers it. Christian? Happy Holidays covered it. You might even be celebrating Festivus. Happy Holidays. The reason I say that is because the mainstream media is literally, as the IQ points drop in America, and they drop on pretty much a consistent basis, you can see it's kind of like the mainstream media is the conductor in the orchestra, and everybody in the orchestra is us, and they're all hitting flat notes. Because they actually think that someone's declaring war on their belief system because I would like to say Happy Hanukkah. But what if you're Jewish? Or what if you're Christian? You know, sooner or later, this whole oversensitive America is going to shed its skin, kind of like the monarch. And we are actually going to get to a point where we can communicate. What's the word I'm looking for? Civilly? Yes. And not agree on everything? That's called diversity. That's actually the way the universe works. Once you start the chain of events, you get to about 5 or 6% in an atomic reaction. You cannot stop it. And I almost think there's an algorithm to spreading fear. I really do. And you know what? I don't even think that anymore. I know that's happening. Because when I look at social media and I go down my timeline, if you're plain out racist asshole, if you're just a homophobic dickhead, you're blocked. I don't see your feed anymore. But what I do allow is for the pendulum to be in both directions. I have friends that are conservative. I have friends that are, you know, way to the left liberal. I have friends that are libertarian. I don't know. Do I know a Tea Party? No, I don't think I do. But the whole idea is, you know, from extreme white to extreme black, you have the yin-yang, and then you have the gray in the middle. That's what I always – Google this, by the way. Yin-yang with shades of gray. And it'll show you the difference between someone that's an extremist on one version all the way to the other. And you can take any religion, you can take any ideology, you can take anything that anybody is saying about and by the way, it's going to be a lot of good news tonight, but and we're going to I just had to do this little rant because when I watch social media, I see fear amplified. And it doesn't mean you're not allowed to have your own opinion about something and you click retweet or you click share. And then I scroll down and I see how many people have shared something, 506 or 112 or 22,000 people that have all clicked something that has something to do with fear. I'm afraid of something. This person, who I think is official, has now stated it because I follow him on or her on or it on Twitter or on Facebook. And now I'm informed and it's my job to move my thoughts forward. And I've been a big fan of social media, but I also understand it's like anything in the universe. It has a positive pole and a negative pole. And that negative pole has taken this ISIS bullshit, and I'm not saying people aren't dying, but what I am saying is if you don't realize that these so-called terrorists are being supplied weapons, supplied ammunitions, supplied supplies, and oh yes, somehow we keep selling their oil. Someone keeps buying terrorist oil on the internet. I mean, on the global scale. I'm sorry, not the internet. Then you have to realize that maybe they're not exactly some cave dwellers who are hoping to blow your ass up. Maybe there's a structure to it, and maybe it has a support mechanism. And then you go back to Iran-Contra. And then you go back to, I think I even heard Sean mention the Mujahideen, which, in other words, we didn't want Russia in Afghanistan. So what did we do? The CIA supplied Osama bin Laden with weapons and money in the 80s. And 10 years later, the Russians gave up on their war because someone else funneled. Now you got to remember, in Russia's viewpoint, the Mujahideen were what? Terrorists. In our viewpoint, terror freedom fighters. The question is, who's supplying the money and the goods? Who's getting the TOW missiles? Who's getting the AMRAAMs? And how are they getting them? It's the same thing now. And it makes you afraid of people you've never met, cultures you don't understand, religions you hardly know anything about. Not that I'm defending organized religion, you know me. But you know what? It is a fear funnel. It's like flushing a big turd, man. Fear, it starts wide and it goes, next thing you know, ISIS, 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 ISIS. I look on my timeline and I go, don't you people even look into shit anymore? You're so quick to click that button and go like, hey, I'm informed and I'm politically motivated because I understand that ISIS is the enemy and we're the good guys. Have you ever followed the money? Have you ever looked into any of that shit? No, you haven't. Well, a lot of people don't listen to this show on a regular basis. They certainly haven't. That's the choir. That's the choir. I'm like the preacher. No, fuck that. I'm not a preacher. Never going to be a preacher. I'm the man on the mic. And over to my left is a big choir. They're not wearing those stupid robes. But those people get it. Those people realize that the way you control the masses is through fear. You make one mass control fear another mass, and what do? You build them against each other, and the next thing you know, you're selling weapons. And that's a billion, multi-billion dollar industry. 25%, well, it's probably more than that, it's probably closer to 40% of the American dollar is based on selling death. Can you deal with that? Because we don't sell dishwashers anymore. We hardly sell cars anymore. The money's got to come from somewhere. Somebody's getting paid. Somebody's being funded. That's what we do. Now, we can do better. That's why I exist. I exist to remind you that somehow in my little, tiny little feeble brain, I've pictured a better fucking world. Oh my goodness. And it didn't, you know, it's not like the Wizard of Oz. But you know what? It doesn't take much. That's what tonight's show's about. I can picture a far better world. And if shows like this and shows like many others on the internet had found their way to mainstream media, America would not be fearing as many things. I'm not saying people don't die in small terrorist events. I spoke about false flag on the last show. It has a lot to do with variances of a false flag versus full false flag all the way to it was actually a true, real event that your government decided to run with because it was going to help them further an agenda. And that is the gray in between the white and black of the yin and yang of something called false flag. But, you know, it goes back. Goes back hundreds of years. And the neat thing is, as the internet blossoms and as more and more people get a voice, you got to weed out. It's like weeds. Some people are weeds. Some people are blossoms. Some people will flourish because it's about seeking truth. It's not about disseminating garbage. It's definitely not about lying to people and trying to control them with a separate set of fear. And by the way, as much as I respect your right to believe in your religious beliefs, it's not about your fucking religion either. It's not. I know that's your paradigm, and I know you'll defend that, and I will respect that in you, and I always will. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm going to call it out, because if there's bullshit in it, there's bullshit in it. And there's nothing you can do about that other than live your life or seek some truth. If you're a Christian, be the best goddamn Christian you can be. If you're a Buddhist, do the same. Hindu, pantheist, Muslim. If you are not walking a walk of peace, contentment, forgiveness, right on down the line, fuck you. I don't want to hear about your religion. And if you post about your religion, I will never retweet it. I will never repost it. And if you continue your hatred and fear of another, I will dump your ass. Because I'm not going to waste my energy, my consciousness on your fear. I'm working too hard to move towards love, togetherness, acceptance, the sharing of ideas and concepts. You say advanced civilization in any, it doesn't matter what, you know. Think about this. Here, think about this real quick, okay? Think about this. What's this music remind you of? Okay, it reminds me of a movie that everybody got a boner for, and it's coming out a week from Thursday, or 3 days from now. You know what? It's another galaxy in a vast universe. And guess what? Even though they're high tech compared to us, guess what's going on? The same hatred, fear, and control and power-seeking fuckers that we have now. That was the same time during the cavemen. And God forbid it's my future. That's what I think. When I look at my role in my world and what I hope to be part of, I hope to be part of positive enlightenment and change. but you have got to shed the old shit. And if you can't do that, and if you don't want to do that, you're listening to the wrong show. Because I am, and tonight, and I got a ton of audio, we'll probably get to at least half of it. I'm about the idea that the human race is about to break out of the cocoon, not let the fears of their past control themselves, because knowledge is now becoming their power. They're quietly seeking. They're having the quiet conversations on the outside of the Thanksgiving dinner table, where Dad and Grandpa will never accept the fact of the 9/11 physics that are fucked up. But guess what? Auntie Mary quietly pulled you aside and said, I watched that documentary, and now I think differently. One person changed her mind. Well, that's happening, wow, I can't say billionfold, but I would definitely say hundreds of millionfold when people think about what they think, or I'm sorry, people think about what they've been told history is. And we're kind of like that gooey little baby coming through the birth canal with a head all warped. It's our, you know, it's the age of Aquarius. The New Agers call it that. There's always different ways to talk about the sociological and the conscientious change in us. It's happening. It's happening in my life. I said that when I did the show on Io. I'm saying it now. It's happening now. It's not going to happen in 10 years. You're part of it. You are part of the awakening. And all it takes is you to go, I am unwilling to accept any more lies. And now I have to make a leap. And a long time ago, a guy named Galileo did that and was locked in a tower for 17 years because the Catholic Church said otherwise about the sun and the Earth's rotation. Who goes around who? Galileo said no. We move around the sun. The church said no. The sun moves around us. And flat earthers, fuck off. I know. I didn't plan that one, but that was good. The idea that questioning your reality is new is ridiculous. Caveman living in a tree. Doesn't like it in the tree. Finds himself a cave. Finds himself a cave on a cliff. Finds his way to a piece of rock that makes sparks and makes fire. We are constantly progressing consciously. It is our destiny. It is what we are built to do. It's in our DNA. It's in our past. And it will be our future. And the question is, what future do we choose? I choose a positive outcome for many, not just the United States. I know I live here in the U.S. I know I feed off a clandestine empire, as John Perkins calls it. It's kind of quiet, but it's an empire. My goal is to say, you know what? I woke up 5,000 people in my lifetime, and those 5,000 people woke up 5,000 people, and I created a chain reaction, just like a nuclear reaction, where it reached critical mass. And I was part of that. I was part of questioning the current reality. And someone 100 years from now will say that, and so on and so on and so forth. And that's how this works. But we have a tendency, especially with shows like mine or other shows, to concentrate on what's wrong. And if you look at my Facebook page, you'll see me wearing a Think Green t-shirt. It's got the yin-yang right there. It's not just about recycling fuels. We're going to get to some cool shit tonight. You're going to love it. But right there is that counterbalance. There is a yin to a yang. I have people on Facebook that protest the cops or this and vaccinations or that. You know what? Bang it. If you believe it, hit it, go with it, run with it. But you know what? Hang on a second. This is what we call the live example. Enjoy the ride. Bring some positivity into your world. Allow yourself at least 50-50, maybe even 60-40. Maybe concentrate on the positive, because a lot of people that think that consciousness creates the forward reality would argue the fact that the more you think positive, the more things will become positive, versus constantly talking about government corruption and the way the Fed screwed up and the way, big carbon has us kind of handcuffed right now. Guess what? Guess what? You start positive. You start going, you know what? Look what cannabis is doing to cancer. Look what MDMA is doing for couples therapy. I mean, we're talking about, if you want to change the world, find out how, and then put your energies into that. And that's what tonight's show's about. Next week, I hope to maybe have some type of crazy class reunion of the IO show. I don't know. We'll see who can be around a mic or a Skype contact. But tonight we're going to have, the more I personally, fuck the radio host part, the more me, Scott, just Scott Legere, that's the real name, you know, the name I was born with, the name my parents gave me, Scott Ledger is the radio name. But the more Scott just reads a positive article about something beautiful and something positive, something cyclical, like algae fuel, things like that, I really do believe in the future of mankind. I really do. But who am I? I'm a guy with like $200 in the bank. What if I'm Elon Musk? What if I'm a guy named Manos? Let me get it. Parga. It's either Parga or Parga. He's a guy that invented 5-hour energy. By accident. excuse me. Technically not by accident. But he went from being a guy who, developed basically a bunch of B12 and some sugars and some caffeines, and now he's worth $4.5 billion. And we've heard that story many times. It's the American dream. It's all about the capitalist way. It is the ultimate dream of people that seek wealth. But every once in a while, a nut falls very far from the tree, and they're not about the betterment of their own selves or their own egos or their private airplanes. He probably has these things. This was a man of consciousness before he came into his wealth. We're going to hear a couple of those guys tonight. And we're going to hear some great ideas and some things that give me hope. I'm not a science techie guy. If someone said break down a molecule, I would sit there and throw my hands up and go, I can't help you. But I do trust the people that can do it. I trust the actual people, and I'm not kidding. I trust the actual people that are smart enough to go, oh, yeah, the carbon atom will combine perfectly, and so on and so forth. And then suddenly they're in a laboratory, and we've got a better energy source. Those are the people I trust. Sometimes their patents are bought up and they make their millions and they disappear. And other times the billionaires refuse to sell out. And that's who we have tonight. We have a guy named Elon Musk. And we all know him. And a guy named Manos Parga or Parga. I want to make sure I got it right, but he is of Indian descent, as in the country of India. And he was lucky enough to stumble upon 5-hour energy. When I watched his documentary, it's called Billions and Change. For the first 5 minutes, I figured, here's another well-produced. I'm a media guy, worked in radio and been around television. I'm the guy that's going to recognize, oh, this is real slick. The production's great. The narrator's, hired voiceover artist and so on and so forth. And about 8 minutes into it, I was like, all right, who is this guy? It's not a long documentary. It's only about 48 minutes long. It's called Billions in Change. Well, we're going to hear some of that tonight. Not all of it, but some of it. We're also going to hear not just one, which is his invention to generate electricity. Not two, a way to pull deep, subterranean ground heat, lava, magma, liquid hot magma, from the ground, turn it into energy. And also a machine that can turn seawater into drinkable water in an hour, 1,000 gallons an hour. And it can reduce, and it can be reproduced, or I'm sorry, manufactured in a factory. The same way you'd make cars, these water machines will be made. And this is a billionaire with a goddamn conscience. That is hope for me. I am so tired of the man who needs to make the money so he can show it off versus the man who made the money and went, what can I do with this and make a difference? So why don't we find out a little bit about our friend here? We're going to do what I normally do on the show, the stop and start, and we'll do that tonight. But I wanted to bring you, you know, some of you have maybe already seen this, these documentaries or heard about these things. But I also, you know, let me reiterate that I'm a fan of anybody that's not afraid to just go, that's fucked up. This is wrong. That's a lie. I don't care if you're pointing at a religion or a government or a money system or an abuse. Basically, an abuse. It can be all the way down to your local government, all the way up to things like the World Bank and the IMF. But I am also a fan of something, not that I'm pure capitalist. I do believe in taking care of the poor. But I am also about something they call the free market. And that free market is very, very dedicated to a balance of certain amount of energy, certain amount of resources. And they all have to mix together just right so everybody gets a piece of the pie. And if anybody in the third world or second world gets screwed out of electricity or clean water, fuck them. See, I don't like that part of capitalism. This is the capitalism I like. Powerful men with a conscience. God, that's awesome. That's Obi-Wan. Okay, that's a powerful person that cares about the outcome for the many. Let's get to know a little bit here. You guys ready? Let's do it.
I'll tell you how we work in our company. Somebody comes to me with a project or something needs to be done, and the first question I ask is it useful? How is it useful? Okay. And if it's not useful, it better be entertaining. And if it's not useful or entertaining, there's only one other basket left, and that's useless. 5 hours is a lot of things for me because it's also the enabler that gives us an opportunity to do things that other people can't do. This was our first building, which is really more 5 hour energy. And then we bought this whole thing. Now we have 10 buildings and 25 acres. One of the buildings out of the 10 buildings is an invention shop, which is called Stage 2. My approach to things is, let's do stuff, invent stuff, make a difference in other people's lives.
Stage 2 works in the area of water, power, health. Our goal is very simple, to deliver innovations which can directly impact humanity.
How would you like to work for this guy? Can you imagine driving to work every day and working for some billionaire and knowing that when you went to bed at night, the world was a better place because of what you did and you were compensated for it? I want to see 100 of these people, not two. We'll talk about two, maybe three tonight. But I want to see many people willing to go, you know what? Come to my shop. Let's design a better carburetor. Let's double the output horsepower of an engine and also half the amount of emissions. I want brains working for me. I want conscientious people working for me. And when I watched this, that's what I thought to myself, man, I need to see more people like this.
And the only way to do that is to actually go fund it.
Our view is, if you invent stuff that can be used long term, it's probably the most fundamental change you can make. We've put an infrastructure together so that great inventions help the poorer half of the world make their lives better. That's what we define as a great invention.
You know, I don't want to sit here and talk about me, but what the whole reason I've ever designed this talk show was about was spreading consciousness and caring. And I think maybe that word has kind of slipped through it because everyone is struggling and worried about themselves and their family and their immediate family. I get that part. You know, the pressure of your own life can be brutal, and it's very hard to extend part of the caring part of your personality to someone you don't even know, or a country or a continent you've never been to. I get that part. But you have to understand that it is a reward to care about others, even if it's just from a distance. It is a reward to open your heart to other people, because eventually, and maybe even selfishly, it will come back to you. It does. That's what, you know, we'll get to Elon Musk later, but, you know, Tesla was about. He died a pauper, but he wanted to share all of his inventions and knowledge with others. He wasn't worried about his own self-enrichment. And these guys, the guys we're talking about tonight, and the positive energy they're putting out. And the reason I feed off this shit is because we need to. Shit, it's tough. You turn on the TV, it's bad news, bad news, bad news, fear, fear, fear. Here's an idea. Let's make the world a better place. Let's educate people about other things. Let's take that fifth grader and teach them about algae fuels. We'll do a little piece on that tonight too, by the way. So you see what tonight's show's about is, you know, when I do a show, I have a goal that people will visit it more than once because it inspires them. That's what tonight's about.
That's the software change. Incredibly, it doesn't take enormous amounts of money. What it takes is just doing the right things and inventing the right things.
My name is Billy Talley, and I run the engineering and operations here at Stage 2 Innovations. Manoj truly believes in giving back. One of his ways that he believes in giving back is coming up with innovations to help people.
Stage 2 is filled with tinkerers, guys that in their garage, they don't have cars, they have stuff they're building.
You should see how I got hired. I had actually built a nail gun powered pogo stick.
I've got to stop that. This is a guy who gets hired by Manoj. He said, a nail gun powered pogo stick. That's a bored guy with a lot of time on his hands, but he's a thinker. That's the good stuff.
And they thought I'd fit the job well.
And these guys are in heaven. I mean, I think they would work there if I didn't pay them.
All right, cool.
When Billy first came to us, I said, Billy, whatever you want to buy, go buy it. I think he was in shock because you never tell a guy who likes tools he can buy whatever tools he wants.
We have a very, very well-equipped shop here. There's not much we can't build ourselves.
Now think about that. He not only brought in his own money, he not only brought in the brains, but he brought in, he didn't just go, oh, draw it up and it will take 8 years to do it. And you'll hear him speak about that, is the urgency. I love that word. Because if you really want to help people, there's an urgency inside of you. You're not going to say, oh, I'll help them next year. You're going to go, I want to help people now. I want to make sure that a third world can have an electric water pump and their village has fresh water. Or I want to make sure that they have solar energy so they can have cell phones to communicate. I want to make sure, in other words, there's an urgency to doing things. And I think that is a true testament to what you're really about. Because if you're just about the press and the coverage, and you might put something on the market sooner or later, then it's just ego-driven. And I don't believe it's about the genuine aspect like I do with Elon Musk and like I do with Manoj here. Here's section two.
My job, I think, is to make complex simple, whereas it seems the consultant's job is to make simple complicated. We use some experts and consultants sometime, and usually when a science guy says it can't be done, to me that's validation that it can. So it's a different, because you mean we define stuff like expert. What's an expert? Expert is someone who knows everything that was. He's really good at what was. And if you ask him about what will be, he says, no, that can't be done, because I'm an expert on what was. Why do I need you? Because if I wanted to do what was, I don't have a business. So, you know, we do talk to experts just to make sure that maybe they've thought of something, or the history of that area is something that we haven't thought of. But we really don't rely on them for the future, because that's just silly.
Check that out. That's the way someone who wants to solve problems thinks. You're a forward thinker if you want to solve a problem. You don't want to deal with the status quo. Experts deal with the status quo. I'm an expert on how this was done or how this dam was built. Well, I need to build a new type of dam that can let water flow and not fuck up an ecosystem and let fish reproduce. I don't need you. You're an expert on the past. I think some people stumble into their wealth. I don't think this guy did. I really don't. Here's section number three. Check it out.
To me, the largest area of work for the future, energy and water, are the real solutions to health, livelihood, all of the stuff that goes above it. Most people don't realize in rich countries, but half the world either has no electricity or electricity 2-3 hours a day. Everything requires energy. So you try to look for that which is the one thing that will lead to benefits that are across hundreds of things. So human mechanical energy is so amazing. Why can't we use that to create energy? So we've invented a hybrid bicycle that you pedal for an hour and you have electricity for 24 hours. We call it free electric. The free electric, I think, is the coolest of all our inventions. Not just because it just looks really great, but it's so simple. It's sort of what we try to do is make things simpler and simpler.
I got to stop it here because what you're looking at is a bicycle seat low to the floor. Your legs are slightly above you. You're not pedaling down. Your feet are slightly above you. To your right is what we call a flywheel. Now, a flywheel is a very heavy metal wheel that once it gets going, its own inertia, its own energy helps provide the momentum. So as you pedal, it's a little tougher to start up, but once you get it going, that big wheel, that big flywheel, is actually aiding you in pedaling. So it becomes less strenuous to you and more energy-driven. Most engines have flywheels. Just Google it. And what we have there is a small generator, a small converter. It literally looks like something that would fit in a corner of your bedroom. Now, he's talking third world with this. But, you know, in America, we'd worry about, oh, geez, that might help me lose my love handles. Yeah, you know what? It fucking probably will. And it'll also give you about 1 kilowatt of energy. 1 kilowatt. That's 1,000 watts for about an hour of pedaling. You might store it in a battery. Elon Musk coming up later in the show. But you might actually need that. What if you had that thing in your closet and never used it, and then you had a Katrina? And we'll get to that in a second. The whole idea that the human kinetic energy, in other words, our physical movement of our bodies is energy. We can produce our own energy is a no-brainer. That's why I like this guy.
And yet it's going to affect, maybe have the largest effect of anything in the last 100 years. The reason is, for the poor half of the world, they have electricity 24/7. Electricity is the greatest enabler there is. And we've kept half the world out of it. this enables all of these people who have not been part of the Industrial Revolution, they're still living as if it's 2,000 years ago. All of these people now can become part of a productive society.
Do you want a better world for just you? I don't think you think that out loud, and I certainly don't think you probably even think it to yourself. You just want a better world. But let's say, let's be honest, when I think of a better world, I want a better world for me. I got to be honest. But I also want the same for others. Now, there are some people, you know, the Gordon Geckos of the world that don't give a shit. They just want their tally, and no one else gets anything else, versus the idea that maybe there's a little selfishness in what I want, but if it helps others, that's even better. And I think that's an honest approach. We're Americans. We're lazy. We abuse energy. We waste food and products. Maybe there's a happy medium.
And this is what will enable them. This solves the problem no matter what happens. Whether it's sun shines or cloudy or night or whatever it is, anything happens, you have electricity. You're never out of electricity. Also, if you look at worldwide, the other side is really interesting.
Hurricane Katrina was a Category 5 monster that became the costliest disaster ever in the U.S.
If a disaster happens, if Katrina hits or some big storm hits, and we've all been through where you had no electricity, the one thing you don't want, you want your cell phone to be always available. You don't want to be out of touch, and you don't want to be in the dark. The worst is being without a cell phone and in the dark. So you're alone in the dark. With this, it can never happen.
Now think about that for a sec. We'll get to the next section and their next invention. Like you said, there's a little selfishness. Oh, geez, you know, power goes out for 18 hours in an ice storm, and now I've got my bicycle. I can generate 1,000 watts in an hour of pedaling. That means light bulbs are on. That means your phone is charged. It means you might even be able to run a cooling fan, some things that don't draw a lot of wattage. That's a good thing all around. If you just take that bicycle, or five of them, and you put them in mud huts in Africa, and you let who knows how many villagers pedal, that village evolves. They have stored energy, useful energy, and their suffering or their struggle is less. I've said that since I started the IO show, what, 2.5 years ago? Prosperous energy equals prosperous life. And that doesn't change because everything is energy. And that means instead of having some horse pull your plow, you now have a John Deere. That's the same thing. Well, let's get to the basics, and we're going to get to heat and actually energy, which is a great idea. It's this thing called graphene next. Now we'll get to his water, which I'm most impressed with. I love the idea that smart people aren't just sitting around patting themselves on the back. I like the idea that smart people are actually working very, very hard to find solutions to our problems. Here we go.
Somebody asked me, you know, in the interview, I said, what does an entrepreneur really need? So I said, they only need two things, common sense and a sense of urgency. That's it. And they asked me, who should we learn this stuff for? And my answer was, from your mom. Because she's probably done more management than your MBA professor. You know. Because he's got a budget. He's got all these kids running around, hard to manage. All of this thing has to be done every day, 7 days a week. Now that's work. That's hard work. That's learning on the job. No matter where somebody stands on global warming or that whole issue, pollution is a problem. I don't care who you are or what your scientific belief system is. We know that that's bad. We need to get rid of it. Is there a way to get totally clean energy that's sort of bullseye of all answers, with no pollution and unlimited energy.
Where do you think they went? Because we're going to do a couple energy stories tonight. We're going to do one about tidal power. We're obviously going to hear from Elon Musk. Obviously, there's a theme in tonight's show. But when I thought, when the moment he said that, when I was watching the documentary, I thought to myself, and he said, where would you go for the most energy? I was like, well, the sun. Obviously, it's a giant fusion reactor just kicking ass there, 93 million miles away, and sending down terawatts of energy every day. And he went in the other direction, and I found this fascinating. Check this out.
So our first question was, where's the energy? And there's only one answer, and that's right here. A few miles underneath us is unlimited power, unlimited energy. Now, a few miles down, deeper you go, the hotter it gets. You take that energy and you bring it up. Unlimited, pollution-free. Is there a way to bring up just the energy, just the heat?
You can't use copper wire because it'll melt. So we found this material.
I'm going to walk through this. You just said you can't use copper wire. Basically, if you go down, it starts at about 2 miles, which, you know, Russia's, many companies have drilled, you know, just searching for oil, have drilled very, very far into the mantle of our planet. All you have to do is go a couple hundred feet down and you're already into 200 and 400 degrees. Did you know that? It's the heat of the core of our planet. So what happens when you go down a couple miles? Well, then here we go with centigrade again. 500 centigrade to 4,000 centigrade. All that heat is pure energy. Pure energy. Remember that song from the 80s with Spock? I got to play that during the break. I got to Google it. How do you get that heat to the surface? Check this out.
Well, graphene.
Graphene is a substance that is really made out of graphite, which is like pencil lead. Right? And what they discovered was that if they take one molecule layer at a time off this graphite, that's called graphene. Okay? And it has incredible properties.
It's 100 times better conductor than copper. It's lighter than air, stronger than steel.
It transfers heat really efficiently.
If you put 100 degrees here, you get 100 on the other side instantly, and the metal is completely cool.
Stop it. You take 100 miles of graphene, and on one side, you have, let's say, 1,000 degrees. On the other side, that heat is perfectly transferred all the way to the other side without losing any of it. It's 1,000 degrees. And he said it's cool in between. I don't know the science behind that. That's badass. That's like dipping a wick into wax and having it travel up the string. That is so badass. Now, I used to think geothermal energy, you know, Yosemite and Iceland and, you know, some of the places on the planet where the magma is closer to the surface and it comes to the surface and it be, you know, steam vents and all those things. All we got to do is drill holes, insert this graphene tube and bring all that heat up. And then we're boiling water. We're creating steam and that steam's turning turbines and we got electricity. And there is not one hydrocarbon burned. How cool is that?
So the heat that you put in gets all the way there. Whether you go 10 feet or you go miles, you could bring up unlimited energy from deep underground to the surface, pollution-free.
How cool is this guy? Oh, come on, be honest. How many billionaires that are worth $4.5 billion give a shit about you or some tribe or some backwoods or some aborigine? How many people care? How many times have you clicked on your internet and gotten some good fucking news? You don't. They want you afraid. They want you in artificial scarcity. And we're going to comment about the price of oil a little later in the program. But I want you to think Rockefeller. If you've ever seen the movie, There Will Be Blood. What is now happening in the algae fuels and other energy sectors as their price, including wind power. We're going to do a story on tidal power. When all of this starts, when all of their cost per watt starts to drop, what happens to carbon fuels? They lose their mojo. Well, how do you fight that? You bottom out your price. You price them out. Instead of saying, what was it, $120 a barrel a few years ago? Now it can't even keep its head above $50 a barrel? You think that's an accident? That is the major hydrocarbon producers of the world fighting the new energy resources with price wars. That's what they're up to. That's why your gas is so cheap right now. Because they're afraid of algae fuels. They're afraid of wind. They're afraid of tidal. And they're afraid of guys like this. But before we even get to that, and we will, without water, no life exists. And we are two-thirds water. Salt, brackish, not clean enough to drink, and certainly not good enough to put on your on your plants. I'm thinking, it's got electrolytes. No, I just watched Idiocracy the other day, so bear with me. This, I saved this one to last because, to me, if you care about another human being, you at least want them to be able to survive. You don't need them driving in limousines, fine. You don't need them wearing fancy clothes, fine. But shouldn't they have enough clean water to grow their own food and take care of their own selves? Is it always about us, 310 million people in a world of 7.5 billion? Is it always about us? It's not. You know that. That's why you listen to this show. You listen to this show because you fucking care. That's why you listen. Check this out. We're going to roll it for a while.
Nature's always smarter than we are. Let's say you come up with an invention that makes clean water out of all this huge amounts of salt water that the world has. Water everywhere, not a drop to drink. So we've got all this water, but we can't use it. Now, there's a lot of places around the world, whether it's India, Africa, China, everywhere, there's a shortage of water. And one of the reasons we went after water is because it is totally fundamental to human life.
Spray bars are holding. We're starting to make distillate. Cool.
Where we are right now is the Rain Project. This equipment, what it does, it turns seawater or any dirty water into fresh water.
Well, one of the reasons why we got involved in the Rain Project is we saw a lot of lacking technologies in the market to generate what we call high-quality water, which can be used for agriculture, drinking, and industrial applications. But more importantly, it does not require any operational support.
All right, start spinning other parts.
The reason we called it the Rain Project basically mimics nature. It heats water, you have water vapor, and then you take that moisture into a different compartment, and then you distill it. The steam or vapor turns into water. So it takes energy to heat the water, and then the energy is released when you turn it back to water.
Got to stop it there. Remember now, every time you turn water to steam, you've killed every bacteria. It's not only just a way to distill it, it's a way to refine it. Remember now, once you get to 212, there's not a bacteria that can survive. You can take it out of a swamp. You can take water out of some brackish swamp or some backwater river, and that's what's beautiful about this machine is, like he said, it mimics nature. But I'll let him explain. He does a better job here. Is you want to, if you're going to release that steam as water eventually, there's a lot of heat. What do you do with that heat? And like he says here, you recycle that energy back to the boiling process. So what they've done is they've designed a machine that uses very little energy to process a lot of water per hour.
So we take that energy and recycle it back to heating the water again.
This little bitty machine here can do 1,000 gallons an hour. Some of the great things about it compared to what the technology is today is, one, it has no parts that go are consumables. No screens or no membranes that go bad. And it can be made to make distilled water or any level of clean water. Whereas current technology will only take seawater and turn it into drinking water, but it will not turn it into water that can be used for agriculture.
This was our prototype version from 6 months ago. We learned off this version. We added some new ideas and concepts, and we built to what we believe is our next version to go into the field for commercial use.
Billy came out of automotive, so everything is made with that discipline in mind, that you're going to build a plant, and then you're going to have pop hundreds of these out every day.
That's about it for that. I don't need to go any farther. Picture the assembly line you have seen since the Model T all the way to modern automobiles. Now picture this machine. It's about as big as I would say the good old VW Beetle. And all the machine parts are identical, so they can be mass produced. And anytime you get into mass production, the cost comes way down and the affordability goes way up. This is a billionaire thinking about how he can change the ability for hundreds of millions, if not maybe a billion or more people, to actually have themselves drinkable, potable water. And you could use it on your crops, too. So if you lived near a brackish swamp, now you can take a dozen of these machines that would give you basically 10,000 gallons of pure water an hour. You can run them on solar panels. And now what happens? You're watering your plants. You're irrigating your own world. You're keeping yourself clean. And there's no disease. Thank you, Manos. 5-hour energy's got a bunch of B12 in it. I don't know if it's going to kill mankind. I doubt it. I do know this man's one of the good guys. I'm glad about that. I really am. Dangerous Conversation with Ledge. Hope you enjoyed that trip. Now we're going to go to Elon Musk. Now, obviously, he runs Tesla Motors. I've got two or three pieces of audio from him. And since we're already an hour into the show, I think I'm going to jump to segment two. And this is where he's going to describe the good and bad of solar, I guess is a good way to put it. Yeah.
Now, the obvious problem with solar power is that the sun does not shine at night. so I think most people are aware of this. So this problem needs to be solved. We need to store the energy that is generated during the day so that you can use it at night. And also, even during the day, the energy generation varies. There's a lot more energy generated in the middle of the day than at dawn or dusk. So it's very important to smooth out that energy generation and retain enough so that you can use it at night. So. Now, what you may not have noticed in that earlier slide where I showed the blue square was that there was one red pixel. Okay, in the blue square was a red pixel. Now it's zoomed in so you can see that red pixel. That is the size of the batteries needed to transition all of the United States to being solar with batteries.
Okay, that red pixel is about maybe as big as a big city. In other words, the amount of energy the sun can send to those batteries. This is the beauty of the universe we live in. The best part of it is abundance. The worst part of it is the lie of artificial scarcity. If you want to control people, control the pond. There's not much water. You have to come to my spigot, and you have to pay my price if you want a gallon of water in your bucket. That hasn't, well, Christ, when was the last time that changed?
don't think it ever has. Anybody that had eight apples and had a crew that needed five, he had power. And he could declare his own rates and make you pay his price. These things happen all the time. But I've said this many times on Dangerous Conversation. Energy is abundant everywhere. Go around these people. Don't let them dictate your world. And we'll get to the algae fuels and some of the opinions about that. I just wanted tonight's show to be something. I don't want it to be too geeky. And I get that part. You don't have to understand the science behind it. But you do have to actually appreciate that there are people fighting for you and me.
Okay. It is a very tiny amount. Okay. One pixel. Just remember that. One pixel is the size of the batteries needed to for the United States to have no fossil fuel generated electricity. This is no room at all. So not a problem for solar or batteries. Now, the issue with existing batteries is that they suck, okay? They're really horrible.
That's high tech.
They look like that.
He's showing a picture of like old school, like 1950s batteries.
They're unreliable.
All linked together.
They're sort of stinky, ugly, bad in every way.
Full of lead.
Very expensive. You have to get some sort of, you need to combine multiple systems. There's not one integrated place you can go and buy a battery that just works, which is what people really want to buy. So we have to come up with a solution. That's the missing piece. That's the thing that's needed to have a proper transition to a sustainable energy world.
Now think about that. There's plenty of energy. There are more than amazing ways to gather that energy. Pardon me. And what am I going to touch on? 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 tonight. But what do you do if you have abundant energy and don't need it till later? You have to have storage. And that's really what Tesla Motors was about. They didn't do what you're hearing about purposely. They did it accidentally. An electric car right now averages about 260 to 280 miles per charge. A regular automobile, depending on miles per gallon and the size of the gas tank, averages anywhere from 400 to 750 miles per gallon. The electric car can't compete. Not to mention there are gas stations everywhere, and how many places are there for you to charge your car? So if you're going to compete in the marketplace, you need better battery storage. You want that charge to go from 160 miles to lasting 270. So what do? You improve the battery technology. What happens when you do that? You go, shit, let's put this in houses. And that's what we got. That's exactly what we got.
So it's very important. I mean, I want to point out a few things that are very important about this. The fact that it's wall-mounted is vital because it means you don't need to have a battery room. Okay, you don't have to have some room filled with nasty batteries. It means that a normal household can mount this on their garage or on the outside wall of their house, and it doesn't take up any room. It's flat against the wall. It has all of the integrated safety systems, the thermal controls, the DC to DC converter. It's designed to work very well with solar systems right out of the box. And it addresses all the needs. If you're thinking about sort of buying a battery, what does this provide you? Well, it gives you peace of mind. So if there's a cut in the utilities, you're always going to have power.
Okay, we can go right there. And go, yeah, you know, we had a storm move through the town. You know, the trees fell. We lost our electricity for 18 hours. But guess what? Our battery that stored, each battery you'll see stores about 1 kilowatt, 10 kilowatts. And, you know, that could last you several days depending on how smart you are about opening and closing refrigerator doors and turning on heating elements and things like that drain a lot of wattage. But this battery isn't just about, you know, solar energy and storing energy. This can be for emergency purposes as well. And I'm not sure if he talks about diesel here, but he does talk a little a little bit about the idea that if you're going to worry about your future, immediate future, you've got to find something technologically advanced.
If you're in a place that's very cold, now you don't have to worry about being out of power if there's an ice storm. You can actually go, if you want, completely off-grid. You can take your solar panels, charge the battery packs, and that's all you use. So it gives you safety, security, and it gives you a complete and affordable solution. And the cost of this is $3,500.
Did I mention this guy's a billionaire? I know Branson, by the way, Richard Branson's run some of his airlines on algae fuel. Jet fuel, made from algae. Branson's another guy, but he likes the cameras. He likes the limelight. So I don't like putting him in the same deal. But I can't, how do you scoff at what he's done with his money? There are some decently, super powerful rich people actually doing positive things for you and I. All I can say is thank God. We fucking need these people. $3,500 to have a wall on your garage door that even if you don't have the solar panels, just say you've got the irregular, utilities running through your house, right? You got that. They run through this battery. They charge that battery. You have a tornado in your neighborhood. You're out of power for 2 days. No, you're not. It's not just about being some green solar geek. It's also about actually bettering your life in a Katrina type episode. $3,500. $3,500. I mean, think about that. There are people that go out and spend more in landscaping their homes than the idea of actually having some energy security, and you live at the end of a road and you never know. The next thing you know, you got an ice storm and everybody else is out of electricity for 4 days, and you and your family are not only connected, you're informed. Did I make that noise? I don't think I did. Thank you, Elon. You're pretty cool. Seriously. You are.
It's going to be a great solution for people in remote parts of the world where there's no electricity wires or where the electricity is extremely intermittent or extremely expensive. So you can take the Tesla Powerwall and it can scale globally. And in fact, I think what we'll see is something similar to what happened with the cell phones versus landlines, where the cell phones actually leapfrogged the landlines, and there wasn't a need to put landlines in a lot of countries.
This is important. Picture, acres. Picture hundreds of square miles of jungle or bush, deep Australia, center of Africa. They're not going to lay a whole bunch of landline cables down for some phone, but they can put cell towers to do it. In other words, the technology from cell towers, like he says, leapfrogs old school tech, and that's the same thing his battery's going to do.
Remote locations. So people in a remote village or an island somewhere can take solar panels, combine it with the Tesla Powerwall, and never have to worry about having electricity lines. I think this is going to be great. Having electricity lines are not the most pretty thing in the world. So being able to just have this solution that just works wherever you are, I think is going to be incredibly helpful to people that don't have electricity today.
He's got one more segment coming up. I know it's right here. Oh, actually, he's not. He's done. Think about that for a second. Think about somebody that actually isn't, this is like, I've now hit two in a row. I'm waiting for Zuckerberg. I'm nervous about. He's social media, and who knows where that info's flowing and what he's being paid for it. But if I started to see another two or three of these guys, Branson's close. if I started seeing these people that had so much money and they sat around and they filled their coffers of, you know, how much can you do? How many planes can you own? How many trips here can you do before your conscience starts to peck away at you? And I'm just glad these people exist. Now, they've always existed. Tesla existed 100 years ago, and he wanted to share his information with others, and he was dumb enough to trust others and sold off some of his patents. He died poor. Meanwhile, you know, Westinghouse made a shit ton of money, and that's how it works. Let's get to algae. Is this like the Total Geek Show? I think I'm going to call it the Energy Geek Show. Yeah. When you look at crude oil, let's say what they call grade A crude oil coming out of, let's say, some giant well in Saudi Arabia. Let's go backwards in time. That area of Saudi Arabia was once rich with microbiology, if not a small shallow ocean or a deep ocean. Remember, the planets and the tectonic plates have been moving around for 4.5 billion years. And what was once Antarctica was once subtropical. Everything moves around. So what created the oil was old oceans. And those old oceans had algae and microbiology in them. Everybody says oil's made of dinosaurs and trees. Yeah, there's probably some in there. Not much. Most of what we consider oil is actually the same thing. Microorganisms that float on the surface when they're living fall to the bottom of an ocean and settle into the silt. That ocean eventually evaporates over several hundred thousand years and gets covered with dirt in a mountain or two. That's how our geological landscape changes on this planet. What happens to all that stuff? Oh, it ends up, oh, I don't know, let's say 2,000 feet under dust, and all that heat and pressure now creates things like coal, natural gas, and oil out of those hydrocarbons. Well, algae does it in a, I guess you could say the format is in live and kicking. It'll do it on the surface. It'll be harvested on the surface. It'll be artificially heated and pressurized. And on the other end of it is literally the same thing as crude oil. Now, you don't have to frack. You don't have to fuck up ecosystems in the Gulf or Alaska. All you have to do is manufacture the same system that took place 100 million years ago and do it on the surface. Now, it is a little different because, you know, do you want to waste precious water on growing algae? Check out some of this. And by the way, I'm not responsible. You know what? I want to think I'm partially responsible for this. Like, let's say there's a billion grains of sand. I'm a grain. So I'm that one grain of sand that goes, you know what? I was talking about algae 3 years ago. And guess what? I'm watching a Buccaneers game. On comes an ExxonMobil ad, and guess what they do? They mention algae as fuel. That's probably because they own half the patents already. But much like cannabis, you can grow your own algae. Got a fish tank? Got a shitty-ass swimming pool? That's fuel. It's awesome. I love that idea. I really do. Check it out. Let's get a little info on algae.
So my main interest is taking technology from the lab literally to the street. This bike is one of the most efficient and versatile motorcycles on the planet.
And one of the most amazing. That's because its 800cc engine gets its kicks from this crazy looking stuff. It's algae, a simple photosynthetic organism that happens to be a biofuel bulging with horsepower. Nathan Shepp from the University of California in San Diego is on a mission to get it into all our fuel tanks.
Its energy density is very close to diesel. It burns actually a lot cleaner. The exhaust coming out the other end is much cleaner.
I got to mention that part. Okay, when let's say that algae and plankton died a million years ago and it fell to the bottom of that ocean, it rotted. And as it rotted, the breakdown of its chemicals became sulfuric, sulfur. It literally started to become less than it was. You know, it's just the way that things break down in the universe. What happens if you harvest algae before it dies? No sulfur. So when he says it burns cleaner, that's what he's talking about. Our new manufactured fuels will be cleaner burning than the ones we're pumping out of the ground right now.
All these things are part of the reason we want to move to a sustainable fuel like algae biodiesel.
You can extract fuel from all kinds of plants, but nothing comes close to algae. It's 30 times more efficient than its nearest rival. It can be nurtured from the tiniest cell in the purest conditions, and then grown and grown and grown.
So they start right here, and this is sort of the lawn of algae, and then what we can do is we'll pick a single colony once these grow up a little.
He's got them in the Petri dish. The same way you would take a single-cell organism and turn it into something else, or a single cell of an organism and turn it into something else, you can do the same thing. You can do it in a scrub-free environment with no contaminants and take it from a Petri dish, and you'll hear him go through the steps here right here.
Put them into a 50-mil flask right here, and they grow like this for about, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 days in here. And then you have to basically scale it up to maybe a 1 or 2 liter culture, and that's enough to take outside, and that's really where we produce the most.
Big giants.
Mostly a
they're like mini swimming pools. They're like redneck swimming pools. I mean, I'm not kidding. When you look at how some of these people are producing algae, they are literally taking that little, you know, 10-foot diameter pool that's about 4 feet deep, and it's got a little circulating pump on it, and they're growing. They are growing fuel. Can you imagine taking 10 acres of your land and getting the proper algae and literally becoming a small-time fuel manufacturer for your neighborhood or your community? That is the future. That's what's going to happen. Now, I always got to mention this. Let's say I've got 10,000 gallons of algae oil, and I want to refine it. My little, almost like a still, that's all refineries are. They heat things, and at separate temperatures, the gases separate and cool and condense. That's what those cooling towers are at refineries. Okay, let's say I do that. What are you going to do with the CO2 you're burning and sending into the atmosphere, Scott? Here's an idea. I'm going to pipe it back into the growth of next season's algae. I will be a complete cycle in nature. I will grow fuel, and when I process it, the CO2 it manufactures during my process will grow next season's fuel. I will capture the CO2 before it ever reaches the air, and no sulfur. I know it's geeky. I know it's boring, but you know what? Someday. And I predict within the next 5 years, you're going to pull into a pump and a station somewhere. I just dropped my mouse. Somewhere in America on a highway, you're going to pull up to a pump and it's going to say 92 octane brought to you by algaefuels.com or something, whatever. It's going to be there. That's our future. And it's a future that sequesters CO2. And it's a future that provides jobs. And it's a future that has nothing to do with oil wars. And we know we have oil wars right now. To sit around and think that the politics of power do not revolve around energy is fucking naive. It's not about religion. It's not about idealistic societies. It's not about socialism versus capitalism. It is about energy, resources, and control of them. That's what it's about.
Aquatic, like seaweed, algae grows by capturing sunlight and turning it into sugar, a perfect energy source. But best of all, it grows pretty much anywhere.
we can grow algae biomass using salt water, wastewater from sewage treatment plants or other things. They don't require traditional fertile land like farm space. We can grow it in the desert using salt water and taking CO2 from power plants.
Did you hear that?
It's this grow anywhere.
You can grow
it
anywhere. You can, again, like I said, take the CO2 from a power plant, pump it right into your algae farm. By the way, lots of major coal plants, lots of major gas plants are now thinking of different ways of taking those smokestacks and redirecting them into an algae pond. Eventually, it'll be reciprocal because they'll be burning an algae fuel, sequestering the CO2, recreating an algae fuel. It'll be a full cycle. And your electricity will not harm the universe, the atmosphere whatsoever. It won't. That's where we're going.
Scientists are getting excited about the big
You know, if you think the show's too geeky, you're right. It's definitely geeky tonight. But you know what? This shit matters.
Advantage of existing biofuel crops like corn, palm, and soya is that they use up land we need to grow food, and they consume way more resources. But the algae in these ponds is not quite ready to put in your tank yet.
We harvest, we centrifuge the algae, and then we put the algae on the drying table here. And it ends up, as you can see, just pellets like this. And in these pellets are the oil.
Finally, using a heated press, the oil is squeezed out of the pellets.
The end product really is almost identical to what petroleum diesel is.
Hear that? A million years ago, algae died and rotted under the ground, and now it's called grade A crude, and now the stuff we create is the same shit. No wars, no deaths, sunshine, water, and algae. Picture every country doing this for themselves. Saudi Arabia is fucked. They know it. They're just trying to sell as much as possible and hold off the barrage of new energy forces. It ain't going to happen. Because the way truth works is it spreads like a virus, and then the way prosperity works is it follows closely behind it. And that's what's happening.
You know, there's no difference in the final product.
And nothing is wasted. All this stuff becomes good animal and fish food, apparently. Nice.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that when you actually process this stuff, there's a bunch of green waste left behind. And guess what? You can feed it to fish and cows. It's high in protein. And by the way, many different strains of algae. I think there's about 600,000 different strains on our planet. Some of those are, I think it's pronounced spirulnea or spirulnea, is actually a high-protein food source for third-world countries already. They already know what's going on with this thing. And by the way, it provides about 40% of the oxygen between that and plankton. Between that and plankton, it actually provides about 40%. Oh, boy. Looks like my computer locked up. Of the available biomass and oxygen on the planet. You're right. You know what it's like when you're in the middle of a good rant and you're like, oh, man, I've got a couple more pieces of sound I want to go to. And you got that death. It's like the death spiral where it just doesn't want to behave. Nah, what a shame. Tell you what, let's do a break. Hit a tune. Maybe two. We'll come on back, finish it up tonight. Dangerous conversation.
Scott Ledger.
On the air.
By the powers vested in me, by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner.
Ledge.
That's why we call it Dangerous Conversation.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
somewhere between prayer and revolution, between Jesus and Huey P. Newton. That's where you find Johnny Five shooting water guns at the audience while you're scooting. Your gluteus mass due to the fact that he's tooting. On the horn, gonna warn you that I'm rooting for the other team in the culture war. So I stab the beast belly as the vulture snores. Yo, yo, let it blow with convulsive force. So I'll fall off their false supports till Jericho's aircraft carriers alter course. And all brave young Americans are called ashore, cause we've already lost the war. They keep waging, splattering the streets and battles. They keep raging, bloody each page in the story that we're studying. Each day the same, just the names keep changing.
Saying the same things over again, repeating the same slogans we don't know where we've been.
We've been all over the globe on our government funds, leaving man, woman, and child dead, bloody and numb.
Saying the same things over again, repeating the same slogans we don't know where we've been.
We've been overthrowing leaders with legitimate views, democratically elected, but we didn't approve.
How many times can the line divide? How many wars to uphold your pride? These fears uncontrolled just swirl the tide of blood in the streets while the people die. I'ma keep on trying, long as suffering is multiplying. And why not? These souls getting tossed and left out. I ride my back broad enough to help lift your cross. As long as you help with mine, the process of healing will take some time. To see the pain in your face is the same as mine. It's not a game or a race, but the stakes is high. We maintain our mistakes, but the stakes are size. As long as it takes, I'll say it one more time. As long as it takes, I'll say it one more time. As long as it takes, I'll say it one more time.
Saying the same things over again, repeating the same slogans we don't know where we've been.
We've been all over the globe on our government funds, leaving man, woman, and child dead, bloody and numb.
Saying the same things over again, repeating the same slogans we don't know where we've been.
We've been overthrowing leaders with legitimate views, democratically elected, but we didn't approve.
Same thing.
U.S. is not
same
us.
Same thing.
And us is not we.
Same thing.
And we are not satisfied.
Same thing.
We're tired of the same thing.
Same thing.
And we're ready to make change.
Same.
Are we ready to make change? For healthcare and public welfare,
free Mumia
and Leonard Peltier. Human needs, not corporate greed. Drop the debt and legalize weed. We say yes to grassroots organization. No to neoliberal globalization. Bring the troops back to the USA
and shut down Guantanamo Bay.
Who let him overthrow Jacobo Arbenz? Who let him overthrow Mohammed Mossadegh? Who let him assassinate Salvador Allende?
I didn't let him, but they did it anyway.
Who let him overthrow Kwame Nkrumah? Who let him overthrow Aristide? Who let him assassinate Oscar Romero?
I didn't let him, but they did it indeed.
But don't let them assassinate Hugo Chavez. Don't let them assassinate Evo Morales. And bring back Martin Luther King.
Saying the same things over again.
With the renegades, cast the ways, outlaws to the game like Thomas Paine once. They masquerade us. The blame is now set to explode like a hand grenade does. No peace to seize the police to show peace. At least peace, no belief, peace. Underneath the beast it lies dormant. Forced to use force, drawn to use caution. Tossed to the ground, the subliminal blinded. Like KRS-One, cause I'm criminal minded. I run with soldiers amongst the vultures. Now you're under control, cause you do what they told you. The front lines now, we're living a battle. Slowly I walk through the valley of shadow, and there's no man that's gonna keep me down. To the thief, to the king, when he snaps the crown. Shower the game with acid rain every hour. Devour these corporate politicians in office. They keep watching you from satellites in orbit. So hold your breath now. Walk the front line. The streets are a battlefield. This war's a gold mine. Set to confuse you. Here to abuse you. Jokers using your waste to amuse you. So tell me who knew. These would fool you. Too bad none of us act like we used to.
strings of the puppet master. Break the chains, unleash the rage. Smash the padlocks and get out of the cage. Now we're on the run and we can't escape. Type everywhere you go, we get caught on tape. The eyes are watching, they're looking for you. We walk under the radar, they took us for fools. They want to beef up security, bring more heat. I pull a NWA, man, fuck the police. Now I'm the bad guy on top of the list. Getting followed by spies, cause we're up in this head. Uncle Sam, finger shaking like no you don't. Holding heist click down, I know you won't. It's freedom of speech, so I'm using it well. There's no heaven on earth, so I'm bringing the hell.
That name has been haunting me since I was a kid.
I don't know if anybody's listening. Are they?
Just by watching TNN, he's learned over 20 southern dialects.
Scott Ledger.
Dangerous conversation.
I mean, if you remove the Ewoks, this is kind of neat, you know. Everybody gets their little medal, and they go, "Ah, man, we nailed three fucking movies in a row, bitch! Woohoo!" And then three more pieces of shit came out. Woo! Now everybody's got a boner for next Thursday. I don't know. I've seen so many trailers now, I think I've seen the whole movie. I mean, seriously, I think I've seen at least 12, 15 minutes of the flick. I guess the weird point and the point in point is, yeah, this universe is pretty vast. And in a galaxy far, far away, there could be an advanced civilization that even though their technologies are amazing, they still can't rise above the petty human behavior. And maybe that's what it is. And maybe that's our destiny. I don't think that's our destiny. I think an understanding that when my neighbor prospers, I prosper, and vice versa. And that neighbor doesn't mean next door. That means 8,000 miles away, 12,000 around the globe. When planet Earth prospers, everyone does. Versus what we see now is a shrinking of the masses being able to have a decent life. And a small select cabal of very wealthy, very powerful people that are rising into power. That's Star Wars. It's not rock. Sorry. Star Wars is rocket science. Sorry. It's Star Wars. It is rocket science. But we've got to go from, you know, it's like that big stairway, man. You see that 100th step at the top. You see the first step. Guess what? We're at, what, step 20, step 30? We're figuring it out as we go. Hopefully we don't doom our own existence. Hopefully we treat other sentient beings. You know, we're starting to understanding that whaling and places like, you know, where you pay $20 to go watch some killer whale locked in a swimming pool. You know, we are learning as we go. And that's the same thing as a 5-year-old or a 54-year-old or you. We are a process taking place. Now, we can let go of the joystick and hope it works out okay, or we can grab the joystick and take the Millennium fucking Falcon right in, and Luke can do his thing in the Death Star and we can get this shit right. I'm a positive person. I believe that there are more people like me out there wanting and searching for betterment, personal betterment. Then you get into personal relationships and family and community, and it extends and it extends. Now, the people that want to control you want that process reversed. They want you fearing your fucking next door neighbor. They want you going to a convenience store, and because someone has a small Indian dot on their head, they go, oh, that guy's going to kill me. They want you fearing fucking everything. Because that's how they stay in power versus all of us regaining our power. And that's the joy of the internet. Because this show has no invites from terrestrial radio, and nor will it ever have. Unfortunately, because I'd like a paycheck. But my conscience tells me otherwise. It tells me they'll do pubic hair pizzas. They'll do darts in the back and paintballs. They'll do the embarrassing guy at the corner dressed in the chicken suit. But fucking terrestrial radio does not want to go near truth whatsoever. Because they are owned and controlled by the same people that want you to fear. And that's what they pump into your veins. Kind of like a, we'll call it the fear heroin, every day of your life. Anytime you go near a magazine or a TV station, they're going to pound you with stuff you're afraid of. And I don't mean you shake in a corner afraid. I just mean you don't understand, you haven't contemplated, you haven't gained knowledge of their systems or the way other people work. In this show, and many others on the internet. I mean, it was several dozen. Now it's, oh my God, it must be at least 2,000-3,000 people on the internet doing consistent programming to try to wake up the masses. Now, the masses will wake up whether they want to or not. They just do it on their time scale. Because once you hit someone with truth, it'll sit in the back of their brain, and one day they'll go onto Google and they will type Building 7. Because then, in that moment, in their journey, during that pinnacle moment in their life, they have finally sought truth. And the truth is, we're all being controlled and made to fear each other. And that's not just your neighbor. That extends all the way around the world to other religions and societies and cultures. Sometimes it must be pretty cool to be an Aborigine and not even know what the internet is, or fuck, Amish, and not have any child with autism. There are lots of yin and yangs playing out in this planet, and I'm proud to be part of it. My computer has decided to behave itself. He says, faithfully, yeah. And by the way, everybody's like, oh, you're watching the GOP debate? No, I'm watching Field of Dreams, because that's more realistic. There's your answer. All right, you guys ready for track four? We are, roughly two-thirds covered in oceans. All these oceans have currents and tides. They're predictable because of two things. The moon and the moon. Seriously. They are as... You can't predict wind. You can't predict the amount of sunshine that'll land on a solar panel, but you can predict the goddamn tides. And guess what? Water is about 280% more forceful than wind. In other words, a five knot. You know what 5 knots is? It's about, what, 9 miles an hour, something like that, 8 miles an hour? Tide, moving in like a river, coming in with the tide, going out with the tide, coming in with, is just as powerful as a 220-mile-an-hour wind. So what happens if we turn that into energy and energy production? It's kinetic energy or good news. I love good news. That's what I'm about. I'm about good news.
The global climate change affects us all. Our search for alternatives for emission-free energy generation has led us to the enormous potential of the oceans. The seas of the world hold tremendous energy that can be utilized, for example, in the tidal streams. Foyt Hydro develops a turbine for the utilization of these tidal currents, with which this enormous energy can be converted into electric power. According to expert opinion, approximately 400 terawatt hours per year can be won in this way from the
400 terawatts! That's ridiculous. And by the way, these turbines turn real slow underneath the water. They're big. You'll hear how big this turbine is in a second. But this isn't something that'll chop up fish or whales. This is the bottom of the ocean, just simply the water moving in towards the shore, moving away. Terawatts. 400 a year. That's the planet. And I'm not sure what the sun provides in terawatts. I know it's more than that. Again, I have said this so many times. Prosperous energy, prosperous life. There is no such thing as an energy shortage. There is artificial scarcity with people that control the energy you now receive. And look what Saudi Arabia is doing because they're afraid. Look at the price of oil right now. 2 years ago, gas was at $4 a gallon. Now it's approaching $1.50. There's no scarcity of energy. There are people that need to control you and me. Because once you and I can gather our own fuel and our own water, then it's the double tall boys, baby. It's the magic middle fingers. And we go, you know what? We'll do it on our own. Thank you. Don't need you. We'll gather our own water, we'll gather our own fuel, and we will sustain our lives in a far more peaceful way. We won't need cruise missiles. And we won't need to dominate third world countries to take their resources under the guise of fighting this bullshit war on terrorism. You will wake up sooner or later. You will wake up at the end of your life. We all find a way to evolve. The question is, how quickly do we do it? And if we can do it more quickly, we will see. Who was that guy that did the Quantum Leap there? Not Dean. The other guy. What was the name of that TV show? Quantum Leap, right? Yeah. You'll see a quantum leap in mankind.
The seas of the world. The dimensions of a tidal current turbine are impressive. The turbine nacelle is almost 13 meters long.
Okay, that's the long part that goes horizontally. That's where the gearing is and everything inside it. Okay, 13 meters. What's 13 meters? Why they got it? Meters. I'm going to figure it out with my calendar. Calculate. Here we go. Okay. So we're talking roughly 45 feet long. That's the horizontal thing that holds the propeller. Picture an airplane engine, okay? That's how big that section is. This is one unit. Check out the dimensions and the production of energy from one unit under the ocean where no one ever sees it.
And the rotor has a diameter of 16 meters.
Seriously. And it just churns like real slow. Like, it's got three blades. I'm looking at the picture here and I'm trying to relate it to you that this does not disturb underwater life. This does not change anything. This simply captures the kinetic energy of the moving water. And again, like we said, water is far more forceful than air, and far more predictable.
Total, the plant is 26 meters high, which amounts to the size of a seven-story house. Once the installation vessel has reached the intended location for the underwater power station, the turbine is connected to a pre-placed subsea cable.
for the future recovery of the turbine for maintenance purposes, guide chains are fixed to the foundation. The entire unit can now be immersed. After the underwater power station has reached the ocean floor, the turbine is started from the onshore control room.
They crank it up and they hook it up. We don't need any more of that. Just wires connected. They go back, they go to a substation on dry land, and next thing you know, you've got each one of these is a megawatt. That's a million watts. That's per hour. That's what a megawatt means. Now, you put 10 of those, okay, what are you looking at? Yeah, 100 megawatt. That's the same as, actually, you put, 30 of these. That, in one day, with the tides moving in and out, will generate the same amount of electricity as a nuclear power plant. And we all know how crazy shit this shit's turning into. 3 Mile Island, and we saw what happened in Russia, and now we've seen what's happened in Fukushima. Wouldn't you just rather just have some water turning some blades? When you flip on your bathroom light, it's all the same. These are options. This is the cool shit that's taking place in our world. That's the best shit. Because, you know, the internet pisses me off and angers me and depresses me. And then the same time, it all depends on what you Google. You just, here we go.
Hey, guess what?
Wow. We get something called, I guess we're going to run long. That's okay. We've now examined four different companies and four different rich people that want to help you and me. Because it will trickle up when your gas is cheaper, when your energy or cooling or transportation costs are cheaper, your life is easier. When the manufacturer of some jacket doesn't have to pay as much for his electric bill because he has solar panels on his factory, he can now charge less for his jacket. The cheaper the energy, the less expensive the energy, the more prosperous the production of things on the planet. I get tired of saying this shit, but if you want to talk politics, I'll sit to you. I will walk you down the energy cycle and I'll go, this is what it's about. There is no difference between the energy wars in World War II, where Britain and France and Italy and the United States found their way into the Middle East, and from Mossadegh to Iran-Contra to the Shah to us funding Al-Qaeda to keep Russia out of that oil-rich land. You think the Ukraine isn't about energy lines and pipelines going to Europe? You think Syria is not about not only the docks and Syrian natural reserves and pipelines running from Saudi Arabia to the Mediterranean? All of this is about energy. And if we can do it ourselves, we can flip them the double tall boys and go, stop killing people. Stop spending our money on death. Let's spend it on prosperity. And there's a lot of good news out there. Let's check it out. Funny story here. Actually, kind of a neat story. And maybe this guy sold his patent, but I don't know. But I kind of landed on this a couple of weeks ago, and I found it intriguing only because it was a guy who set out to do one thing, and kind of like, I think they even say this is, you know, you're searching for one answer and you find another. Check this out. This is good stuff.
Instead of paying almost $4 for gas, how would you like to run your car on salt water? Now, it may sound crazy, but wait until you see what a local inventor has come up with that could change the world. And as Channel 3's Michael Mara shows us, that's not all he's trying to do.
We need to get it to around 100 feet.
Retired TV station owner and broadcast engineer John Kansas was not looking for an answer to the energy crisis. He was looking for a way to cure cancer. 4 years ago, inspiration struck in the middle of the night why not use radio waves to kill the cancer cells?
And the best thing that would work as antennas was my, that I could find at 3 o'clock in the morning, was my wife's pie pants.
His wife, Marianne, heard the noise and found her husband inventing a radio frequency generator using her pie pans.
I got up immediately and thought he'd lost it.
Here are the basics of John's idea. Radio waves will heat certain metals, like gold. Tiny bits of that metal are injected into a cancer patient. Those nanoparticles are attracted to the abnormalities of the cancer cell and ignore the healthy cells. The patient is then exposed to radio waves, and only the bad cells heat up and die. Killing cancer cells is amazing, but John had also stumbled on yet another amazing breakthrough.
You have enough in there?
His machine could actually burn salt water. John Kansas discovered that his radio frequency generator could release the oxygen and hydrogen from salt water and create an incredibly intense flame.
Just like that. If that was inside a car cylinder, you could see the amount of fire that would be in the cylinder. I can put my hand in here.
Put your hand into the beam, nothing happens. Put in a fluorescent bulb and it lights up immediately. At the APV Company Laboratory in Akron, top engineers have checked out John's amazing invention, and they were amazed.
And we saw it go up to 1,500 degrees centigrade.
Okay, wait a minute now. You're taking salt water, you're injecting a sound wave at a specific frequency. It's pretty intense. But like you said he could put his hand in front of that sound wave generator. Like, you can't stick your hand in a microwave, okay? You can't do that. But he could do this safely, but the moment those sound waves, at whatever the frequencies are, whatever his patent is for, they lit up salt water to 1,500 degrees. Now, just picture of a big factory with a big sound generator. On the other side, a salt water pump, and you got this beautiful marriage in the middle. And again, when you have heat, you have energy, and when you have energy, you have prosperity. That's pretty badass.
The temperature, and it's incredible.
This simple Stirling engine is running with the heat generated by the flames coming off that test tube. The fuel, nothing more than salt water.
Well, that could be a steam engine, a steam turbine. Could be a car engine if you wanted it to be.
That's the true American innovator. Someone that is not looking for something, he just finds it.
This is the most abundant element in the world, water. And salt water is everywhere. And to see it burn actually gives me chills.
So imagine the possibilities. Salt water as the ultimate clean fuel, a happy byproduct of one man searching for a cure for cancer. In Erie, Pennsylvania, Mike O'Mara, Channel 3 News.
I don't know. I looked up the story when I dubbed it, and I was like, oh, it's a couple of years old. Maybe he's, you know, someone wrote him a big check, took his technology and shelved it. It's like, you know, taking the Ark of the Covenant, put it in a big warehouse, and no one knows where it is, that kind of shit. I'm not saying that big companies, you know, the Kuwaitis and the Saudis, and, you know, because their pumps are going to run dry. They know their future of influx of money and power is going to end, and they've got to fight it every inch of the way. Well, how do you fight it when you're multi-trillionaires? Hey, you just buy all the patents up. Someone goes, oh, yeah, I found a way to split the hydrogen and oxygen from water and make a car that gets 900 miles to a gallon of water. Well, you just buy up the patent. Some guy gets, you give him, what, $100 million? He's a happy camper. Meanwhile, that gets shelved. So there is a battle going on. But since everything is made of energy, and as you can see tonight in tonight's program, there are so many different ways to tap that energy. It's impossible for them to control us. It's impossible. It's impossible for people to control the natural progression of nature. Okay, humans are part of nature, but nature, it's impossible. It's like trying to put your thumb on the top of a volcano. You can't do it. It's impossible. Eventually, shit happens. And sometimes that's our kind of shit. I didn't get to Elon Musk tonight. I did when I talked about his battery, but he's also done something very, very neat in the last couple of days. think he's put about $100 million into some very smart people when it comes to creating software. Basically, he calls it AI safety. In other words, artificial intelligence is on our future. Let's put money into making sure it doesn't become Skynet. I mean, it makes perfect logical sense to realize that computers can help us, but they can also hurt us. So I'll probably do that on the next show. I don't want to, it's kind of a different subject. I just want to remind you that the reason I do my program, the reason I, and the things I think about when I wake up in the morning is I am a, you know, just bear with me here. I believe consciousness is permanent. I believe everything, every atom, every molecule, every galaxy, every multiverse is all part of the same giant, big, call it organism. George Carlin calls it the big electron. So for me to think that my prosperity matters more than somebody else's doesn't coincide with that. It would be the equivalent of my right hand chopping off of my left. I believe in my realm and in my matrix that we are the same organism, simply experiencing itself from different perspectives. Then sharing information like these billionaires are doing, not worried about profit and power like these billionaires are doing, is our future. I really truly believe that we won't fuck it up, at least completely. We might bottom out, but we'll learn from that. But what I also understand is the way the internet works and the way knowledge and power and I'm sorry, knowledge slash power, because they are the same thing, are being shared, is the same thing as critical mass in an atomic reaction. You cannot hold it back. There are too many good-hearted, good-willed people on this planet that are willing and wanting, let me put that word first, wanting and willing to put their life's work towards the betterment of your my life, and every human and sentient being on this planet. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I really do. Because I see more and more of it. Now, you can concentrate, like I said at the beginning of the show, you can concentrate on the negative and the fear and the ISIS and, the, you know, I mean, it's rampant on social media right now. But that's just people showing their own fear. They're typing and clicking send, and you get a read on where we are as a species and how we are controlled as a society and societies. I'm not saying you shouldn't want to take care of your family or be fearful for them, but I'm saying if we are to progress as a species, the only way to do that is to lower the fear and, I don't know, ingest the knowledge, I guess is a good way to put it. And I wanted to present to you tonight good news. Because in 100 years, these guys will be dinosaurs. And we'll probably have fusion, cold fusion, and we'll probably have hydrogen energy everywhere. And we'll probably have so much solar energy and mass transportation that all of what we are now will be looked upon and, unfortunately, laughed upon. We'll be looked upon as children. Spiritual children in 100 years, because we will eventually get it right. Not perfect, no such thing, but get it right. And that matters, because you know why? Because it's my lifetime. It's my lifetime. I want to make sure that sometime in my lifetime that I was just a grain of sand in that bucket of change. Positive change. And that's what Dangerous Conversation is always going to be about. Good news, bad news, we'll hit them both. Tonight, good news. Now, next week, Here's what I'm hoping. I want to get the band back together. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm going to send out a bunch of invites to a bunch of people on Skype. And it'll be a show next Tuesday, and then there won't be one the following week. But it's been a great ride. I had a wonderful conversation today with someone I care a lot about, and she's growing in importance in my world. And she believes in two things, my message and my talent. And I hope you do, too. Fuck, I'm talking to you from a bedroom. Nobody's getting rich here. I just want to pump you up and get you ready for next week. As long as that's cool. Some people are born to be welders or boatsmen or fishermen or, hey, soldiers. I was born to broadcast thoughts, questions, conundrums. And you guys have been great. I mean, it's been a great ride. And I really hope that as I work to get DC noticed on a national scale, it'll take probably the next year to get to that level, that you guys can realize that there's no ulterior motives here. It's just a big room full of people that fucking care. Period. That's all I got to say. Good night.
Is a Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill quick fix on Radio Influence.
This attack at a nightclub in Orlando is being called the worst terrorist attack since 9/11. That's pretty strong. And people are, how do you call a terrorist? Well, the shooter in this case apparently called 911, pledged his allegiance to ISIS, and went into a nightclub with an AR-15, which is what I suspected from the start, even before they named the weapon, just based on the amount of destruction he did in just minutes. An AR-15, a handgun, and some type of device, which could have been an explosive device. And then, just like that, 50 people lost their lives. 50 families will be forever affected by this. Just people that are seriously injured. That's terror. Now, let's look at the definition of terror, and whether it's homegrown, whether it's radicalized. The definition of terrorism is the use of violent acts to frighten the people in an area as a way of trying to achieve political goal. The use of violent acts to frighten the people in an area as a way to try to achieve political goal. So to me, quite frankly, whether it's homegrown, when you look at a Timothy McVeigh, or whether it's radical Islam, as you look in Orlando and San Bernardino and other places, terrorism is terrorism. And you look at McVeigh, he had a political goal. You look at ISIS, they have a political goal. So terrorism in this country is something that we deal with on a daily basis.
Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.